And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. You know, dear friends, in an uncertain world, there is a degree of certainty. Okay? You say, wow, wait, Tex, you've just contradicted yourself. No, what I want you to understand is when you look at the world at large, abroad, when you look at what is happening in this world, we become perplexed, confused, bewildered, angry. Some become frightened, scared. We live in something like the movies about the Matrix. And things seem surreal or unreal. How can we grasp onto reality? How can we enjoy our lives and know for sure what is going to happen to us, what is to come? Well, one of the great ways is what I'm going to tell you today. You see, the New Testament says that there is a sure word of prophecy. A sure word of prophecy. Did you know the book of Revelation says that Jesus Christ is not only Savior and Lord, the Alpha and the Omega, but Jesus Christ is the very spirit of prophecy. Think about that. The spirit of prophecy. The greatest prophet is not Moses, certainly not Nostradamus or one of these fake medieval astrologists and so forth. Certainly has nothing to do with the Mayan apocalypse or the Aztec prophecies. No, the greatest prophet who has ever lived is Jesus Christ. After all, he created the world and he makes things happen. If you have the ability, the power to make things happen, then I assure you that whatever you say is going to occur will happen. Because you make sure it does. You know, Einstein was not a believer, but he once said that God does not play with dominoes. Nothing is left to chance. Everything is certain if you know the pattern, if you know the future, if you know how things are to be constructed and will be constructed. The book of Daniel says there are certain things that are determined. God determines them in advance. Today I want to talk about some things that have been determined. Things that Jesus actually said will happen. They will transpire. You can be sure about it because he will make them come to pass. And here's the good news. He wants you to know about these things. Now I believe there are some people listening to me out there will at the end of this program will be confused. They'll think it's all gobbledygook. They'll say, I didn't get one thing out of that message. I don't understand one thing Tex Mars said. Well, the Bible says the natural man, that is the unsaved, the person who doesn't have the spiritual power of the Holy Spirit, cannot receive the things of God. And what I'm going to tell you did not come from Tex Mars' fertile imagination, although I have a pretty good imagination, or maybe just I have a strength of my perception that God has given me. But none of these things came out of my mind. They came out of the Holy Bible. In fact, they're out of Matthew chapter 24. And I want to tell you about them because I think Jesus wants you to know. And Jesus said what would happen. Now here's how it all began and how it took place and why I think it's important to you and to me today. Listen to this, chapter 24, beginning with verse 3. And as he, that is Jesus, sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Oh my goodness. Think about the 12 disciples. They'd heard Jesus saying things such as Jesus prophesying that the temple would be torn down one stone after another and they were absolutely flabbergasted at all the things he had said. And they came to him and said, tell us, now privately. And you know, it's been put in the Bible here, and now you will know what Jesus privately told his disciples. You have the privilege that millions of people before this event did not have, and billions of people on this planet who do not believe in Jesus Christ and who have never read the New Testament may never know. You have the privilege. Why? Because in the book of Daniel it says that the wise shall understand. The wise, not in your own mind wise. You know the old story about being a legend in your own mind. Well, no, it has nothing to do with your mind. God's Spirit will enlighten you. To use an Illuminati word, you will be illuminated. But in a much different way than the Illuminati in the occult world says. You will know things that to most people are gibberish, or they can't understand. They will never know because they're outside the kingdom. But if you have Jesus Christ within, you will understand. The wise. Wise through knowledge given them by the Holy Spirit. Whether your education is elementary school or you've gone all the way up to the PhD level, the Holy Spirit is able to speak to you, dear friend, specifically today. And imagine the privilege these disciples had, and you have now to listen to what he said. Tell us, Lord, and three things they wanted to know. When shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming? See, they knew he was going to leave. He told them, I'm going to be leaving, but I'll come again. So they want to know, what will be the sign of thy coming, your return, and of the end of the world. Now, the New Bible versions, being evil and demonic in some ways, and that's why I use the King James Bible only, have changed this. And it becomes suddenly not the end of the world, but the end of the age. See, there are many ages. I mean, in my lifetime, we've seen the computer age, the information age, the internet age. There's been the age of aircraft flying in the air, you know, the air age. And there have been the gay 90s and the roaring 20s and the heat, I don't even know what they call the 60s, the Woodstock era or whatever. But the end of the world, that's the real language here. The end of the world. When is it all going to wrap up? When are you going to return? And what signs should we look for? Now Jesus answered, verse 4, and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with a child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show many signs, great signs, and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Matthew chapter 24. Behold, I have told you before. I want to go over each one of these verses with you, dear friends, and we want to look at them. I just cursory, you might say, went over them very fast, but imagine the scope of all of them. There's a lot involved in each one of these powerful verses. And my, are they powerful? They're dynamite. There's gold in each item here that Jesus gave his disciples and therefore us today. Now, this is not the whole of prophecy. There's a lot more prophecy in the New Testament and the Old Testament as well. And in coming months, we're going to be talking more and more about prophecy because I think it's vital to know, to have a sure word of prophecy. But what I want you to understand is if you understand just chapter 24 of Matthew, it will cast out many, many lies and false perceptions of what is to come. It'll expose the false prophets and their falsehoods. And it will give you important information about what is most vital to your lives today and to your future and that of your family. Now, what we do know is, as the Apostle Paul said, in the last days, things will wax, that means grow, progressively grow, worse and worse. Now, a lot of people out there are saying things are going to get better and better. Oh, the economy will improve, wealth creation will grow, and many of the prosperity preachers are saying, oh, just have faith and you'll get all kinds of stuff. Good things materially will come your way. And anyway, when you become a Christian, you've got a lifetime of happiness and contentment and money ahead. But that's not what the Bible says. Jesus said, many will be offended and will betray one another and shall hate each other. And because you have Christ, they'll hate you especially and they'll want to kill you. And they will kill you. Say, well, Tex, you're scaring me now. Thank God the rapture is going to come before anything bad happens to me. Oh, you're wrong. You're wrong. There's nothing in this chapter 24 about a rapture. And then the end shall come, Jesus says. Did you see where he said, but don't worry, you'll all be taken up. You'll be taken out of here. No, that wasn't in there, was it? Perhaps the most important chapter of prophecy in the whole Bible, and it doesn't say one word about your being lifted up. Now, I'm not saying, because I do believe that we will fly away to be with the Lord. That's 1 Thessalonians. But understand, nothing in the Bible guarantees you there will be no tribulation or problems and troubles in your life. In fact, just the opposite. They will come your way. What is guaranteed is that you will be able to overcome them. Through the power of the blood of Christ, you can be and will be an overcomer. Now, let's go right away to these because we've only got, well, a short time today. And they're so important. Chapter 24, verse 2. Jesus said, many shall come in my name saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You know, a woman named Lola Davis, she was a former Christian missionary, but she turned New Ager and Hindu. She went over to India with her husband, Miss Davis did, as a missionary, Christian missionary. But then the devil got in her and she became a Hindu. And now she believes in all the religions and she's written a book called Toward a World Religion for the New Age. She says, in all the major religions, Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity, they all have a Christ figure. They all just have different names. They're all Christ. Benjamin Cram, I talked about him in my books, Dark Secrets of the New Age and Mystery Mark of the New Age. He says there's a new Christ called the Lord Maitreya. And he's already here. Up in Canada, they have a man who leads a church and it has chapters and outlets throughout North America. He says he's the new spirit of Jesus. And he says, take the mark, 666. Take the tattoo in your body and you'll be rich. God will give you riches. I, Jesus, say so. He claims to be Jesus. The Muslims expect Ahmadinejad, the president of Iran, says, we now expect very soon the Mahdi will come, the Muslim Christ. And Jesus will come with him to aid him, to assist him. Jesus is just like a lieutenant of the Al-Mahdi, to come. Muhammad is the true prophet. Jesus is just one of the other prophets. Jesus is coming, but he won't, he's not the main man, so to speak. Jehovah's Witnesses say Michael's coming. The Archangel Michael, he's really Jesus. And when the Bible mentions Jesus, it's really talking about an angel, not God himself. The Mormons, why Brigham Young said, Adam is the only God we have to deal with. Adam is coming again. He's the Christ. Adam, of Adam and Eve fame. I guess that's what Romney, if he believes in his Saint Brigham, believes in. There's a New Age organization that put out a book called A Course in Miracles. It was written by a Jewish psychologist from New York. It says that Jesus and Lucifer are brothers, and there is no hell, there is no sin, it's all illusion. There you have another Jesus, another Christ. I once did an audio tape. It's entitled 1001 Jesuses. Folks, there is another Jesus. There is another Christ. That's what the New Testament warns us about. That's why you have to read the words of this Bible to know who the real Christ is, his characteristics, his traits, his doctrines. Jesus said, if you know my doctrines, you will know my Father in heaven. Wow. Jesus says, the doctrines I bring are not my own, but are my Father's. Some people say, doctrines are so divisive. Oh, they are. I agree. They divide the sheep from the goats. They divide the devil's people from God's. But you see, these people that say they're so divisive, don't listen to doctrines. It doesn't really matter. Mitt Romney went to visit the aging Billy Graham during the campaign, and Billy Graham endorsed him for president. And then the Billy Graham organization took Mormonism off its list of cults. It's not a cult. It's a true Christian religion, even though they don't even believe. They believe that every Mormon will become a god. And Jesus is just a man who became a god. And God the Father also used to be a man, became a god. They believe there are millions of gods. You can become your own god of your own planet. And you have millions of wives whom you copulate with continually. I don't know why all the Muslims don't leave the Islamic faith and become Mormons. After all, they only get 70 virgins in heaven. Well, if you're a Mormon, you can get millions. I don't know how you handle them all. I think one is, I guess I just love one. I don't know how I can divide my love. Love is expansive, I know that, but I'm not really interested. Okay, chapter 24, verse 7. Let's go on down. We're going to skip a little bit. Let's go to verse 7. Jesus says, verse 6 says, and you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. A lot of people say, there's always been wars and rumors of wars. That's true. And Jesus accounted for that. And he says, don't be troubled. The end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Folks, let me tell you something. Famines could be man-made. There's now a United Nations World Food Authority. They've got plans to ration food if it becomes of short supply. And it probably will with these GMO, genetically modified foods when they're found out to be poisonous to us. And they said, we won't let you eat them. Well, there's nothing else out there because the Terminator gene was used to kill all the seeds. That's why we offer heritage seeds here in the ministry. You can buy some heritage seeds and have real stuff. When all the world may be limited and there's no food anywhere, you'll have your own seeds. And there'll be the seeds that came from the same crops that God put here. not Monsanto and the others modified. As far as pestilences, we know we have those. Diseases of crops. Earthquakes. They're always around. And look, they've been predicting since the 1800s the Great Madrid Fault that runs up the Mississippi River and divides the United States. They say it's time. It's way past time for a gigantic earthquake up in Missouri, Mississippi, all that area. Up in Ohio even. Of course, California has its San Andreas Fault. Alaska has a fault up there, and there have been several huge earthquakes in Alaska. But we've seen them, Japan, Iran, Turkey. Of course, California's had its share. Verse 9, chapter 24, Jesus said, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." Well, thank God we've got the United States. It'll never happen here. But wait. What did Jesus say? They shall deliver you up to be afflicted. That's tortured. And shall kill you. And you shall be hated by who? Of all nations. All nations will hate you. Because you're a truth teller. You say, well, I'm patriot. I spent time in the military, or my husband did. Why, you know, I was born here. I've been a faithful servant of the United States of America. Oh, do you have different views than the government? Big Brother recognizes you as an enemy already. You're a domestic terrorist just because of what you believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, that horrible religion? Are you intolerant because you don't approve homosexuality and gay marriage? You terrible, terrible person. We'll have to put you in a camp and re-educate you. And if you can't be re-educated, brainwashed, well, we'll have to just kill you. We're doing it for your own sake. No, they're doing it for the namesake of Jesus. You stand up for the rightful things, and they hate you for it. They do this. Why do you think people love Bill Clinton? He was just like them. The more evil they see in a man, the more people love him. Why do you think they love the celebrities? The more divorces, the more illegitimate children they have, the more, you know, perverted sex, the more shopliftings, the more crime, the more drugs the celebrities take, the more the people love them. Michael Jackson, look at him, his example. Poor role model for children, but they loved him. And they still idolize him all over the world. But they don't idolize Christians. And they will deliver you up to be afflicted. Why do you think we now have gulag camps? American made, American run by the CIA. With the help of the Israeli Mossad. Around the world, not just in Guantanamo. You will be hated of all nations, including the United States. It doesn't say except the United States. Well, that's a Christian nation, so you don't have to worry about that. If you're British, Australian, New Zealand, say, well, we've always had a Christian country here. So what? Prove to me today that there's any nation on earth that is truly a Christian nation. You cannot. We know it. Folks, Jesus said elsewhere in the Bible, he said, if they're going to kill me, look what they're going to do to me. They tortured Jesus before they killed him. They spat on him. They mocked him. If they do this to me, I'm the Lord. Think what they're going to do to you, my servants. The servant is not greater than the master. Now, some people say that can't happen. I was told I was going to be raptured. Well, you know, they had the Great Inquisition, Torquemada, a Jew, tortured hundreds of thousands in the Spanish Inquisition. Nero in Rome, Caligula, the Roman Caesars had hundreds of thousands of Christians put to death. In Islam today, if you convert to Islam, they'll cut off your head. You don't think Christians are being persecuted today? The Muslims in Nigeria and in many African countries are persecuting Christians. The United States has been an oasis, but that oasis is going to dry up. And it can happen very, very quickly. You already have universities across America banning Christian groups. banning Christian groups. They allow homosexual groups, Muslim groups, Jewish groups, Buddhist groups, New Age groups, witchcraft groups. But they say you Christians can't meet as a regular because, you know, you're too exclusivist. You won't allow the witches and the Satan worshipers to be part of your group. So we're going to have to not let you meet anymore. And you Boy Scouts, we're going to punish you. You can't use city property, county property, state, federal property, because you discriminate. Soon, my friends, pedophilia will be approved, and it's very possible, if he can last that long, people like Sandusky, the Penn State coach, probably be released from prison. After all, pedophilia is just another choice. Aren't you pro-choice? You're not intolerant, an intolerant Christian who doesn't believe in pedophilia, do you? Verse 10, chapter 24, Jesus said, "And then many shall be offended." And then, I'm sorry, let me put it another way, the way that King James does. I don't even want to reverse words. I want to make sure it's exact. "And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another." We already have Christian children killing parents and parents killing children, brothers killing sisters, love triangles between cousins. And I mean, it goes all kinds of ways here. And people can be offended over the smallest thing. You drive too fast, try to cut into lane, a guy shoots you in the head. Road rage. You drive too slow, then they get mad at you for that and they shoot you in the head. Road rage. But here's what the real offense is going to be. Jesus said it himself. They're offended at the gospel. They're offended that you say there's a hell. They're offended that you actually preach that there's something called sin. You should not judge anyone. And because you're a Christian, you're guilty of judging. You can't help yourself because God told you to judge. Don't listen to anybody that says, God, Jesus said, don't judge. What he said was don't falsely judge people. Judge them accurately and according to the scriptures. That's what Jesus was really saying in Matthew 7. Read it for yourself, because in that same chapter, Jesus says, don't cast your pearl before swine. Don't cast your pearls before swine. You have to know who the swine are. Who are the hogs? Who are the pigs? The filthy ones. Don't cast your Christian pearls before them. They'll just turn around, Jesus said, and rend you. Looks like Jesus judged people, doesn't it? Because he knew what was in the hearts of all men. My friends, listen to me. Children today are in a state of rebelliousness against their parents, against their grandparents. And those who are convicted of sin will strike out in anger at you. They'll even attempt to change and revise the Bible. They'll call the Bible a book of stupid myths, of stupid legends. They'll scoff at you. And the homosexuals will say, I'm offended by what you preach. How dare you? We're going to talk about this offending thing and what Jesus said would be happening in the last days, and is happening right now, this year, in the 21st century, when we return in just a minute. We're looking at what Jesus said when his disciples asked him, Lord, tell us, what will be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? We're going to discover some more signs. We're going to discover what will happen at the end of the world. I'm Tex Morris. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Hello, friends. Tex Morris again. You know, we were talking about what Jesus said about many would be offended in the last days. Offended. Well, I've had people tell me that my preachings and teachings offend them. And even when I say, well, it's in the Bible, they say, well, I don't care. Or they'll say, well, you shouldn't preach it. Or they'll say, you misinterpret the Bible. Or they'll say, well, that used to be okay back in the 18th century, but it's no good anymore. as if standards should change just because they say so. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I tell them that, but they get even more angry at me. The Jews tell me, how can you dare teach such things? I say, well, the Bible talks about the synagogue of Satan. How dare you say the synagogue of Satan? You're an anti-Semite. The Freemasons are angry at me because I tell people the truth that Freemasonry does not allow the name of Jesus to be mentioned in their official ritual meetings. The name of Jesus is prohibited. How dare you tell people that? But it's the truth. Well, nevertheless, how dare you tell people that? The New Agers, boy, when I was exposing the New Age movement, did they ever get angry at me? I was intolerant. I was narrow-minded. I was bigoted. The IRS should investigate me. The FBI should. I must be a dangerous terrorist or something. Just because I was exposing the occult and the New Age movement. And friends, when I talk about sin and hell and all these things, pastors come in, against me. They write letters. They write columns. They write articles on their blog pages on the internet. Tex Mars is a monstrous man. Don't let him scare you. He's a fearmonger. He's warning you about Armageddon. There is no Armageddon. There is no hell. There is no end of the world. Don't believe him. Believe me, why, I graduated from Union Theological Seminary. I have a doctorate of divinity. I'm a brilliant genius of a man. Yes. And don't believe what Tex Mars says about the myths of the Bible. Well, that Adam and Eve story, that's just hogwash. Don't believe it. Jesus resurrected, that's just a myth. That's a legend. All you have to do is be a good person. You can be a homosexual. You can be, a sadomasochist, as long as you're a good person. Don't listen to Tex Mars. That's what they do, friends. You know, I've been kicked out of more places than anybody that I know of. I remember Baptist pastors. I was speaking at a Baptist meeting. They had about, 30 or 40 pastors there. I didn't really count them. One big guy stood up and just started screaming at me. I told him, I have about 2 minutes left to talk. He said, no, you're finished. I said, no, I'm not. And I went in and spoke. He just sat there and fumed, and they all lined out, except I think there was three of them that stayed behind to talk to me and thank me. All the rest of them left. They were so angry at what I said. I went to a big meeting of Christian psychologists and counselors down in Florida. They were so glad to have me because I was a best-selling author. They scheduled me to speak 2 nights. But after the first night, they said they didn't want me to come back again. The second night, they said, well, thank you for coming, and you don't have to come back tomorrow night. They were offended, they said. Folks, my new book, Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star, has offended many. I'm getting letters. They're offended. A lot of bookstores won't take it. They've taken it off the racks. They say, it's offensive. People have come up to the cash register and told us this book is offensive. Mm-hmm. And it is. It is. It offends because it tells the truth. And that's why I want you to have it. Buy this offensive book today. Buy the book they don't want you to have. It's called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. $25. Add $5 shipping and handling. Say, Tex, give me that offensive book. The one called Conspiracy of the Six-Pointed Star. By the way, interestingly enough, on Amazon.com, it's on the bestsellers list of Jewish books. It exposed the Jews and Judaism and Rothschild and the Kabbalah and much more. And evidently, a lot of Jews want to read it. I don't know whether they just want to read it and scream and holler at me or what. They want to know what Tex Mars said. It's a bestseller. It was in the top 5 books of Judaism for a long time, and I think it's still there somewhere on like number 23 or something. It continues. The Jews are buying it. I wish Christians would. And I'm getting letters from Jewish men and women saying, you know what? It bothers me. It hurts me to say this, but you tell the truth, Tex. Those are the things I learned in my synagogue. Those are the things my rabbi taught me. Those are the things my parents taught me. Those are the things my yeshiva, my school over in Israel have taught me. I want to learn a better way. I want to know the truth. Can you help me? And we do help them. We write them back. We send them material. We're glad. I'm glad for Jews or Muslims or anyone to write me and say, Tex, you're wrong. Sometimes they say you're wrong. And I start a communication with them. Sometimes it makes them more angry, and other times, guess what? They discover the truth, and they're thankful to me for the rest of their life. But not to me. They're thankful to God for having given an old East Texas boy like Tex Mars the truth so he can teach others. That's my real job, you know. That's my real mission in life. All right. $25 at $5 shipping and handling. You can get the book by ordering it by phone, 1-800, toll free, 1-800-234-9673. Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. Huge book. Three times as big as most books. 432 pages, but it's a large format book. Like an encyclopedia. Amazing information. Much of it never before revealed. Conspiracy of the Six Pointed Star. Total of $30 postpaid. All shipping, everything taken care of. 1-800-234-9673. Or send $30 cash money order to Power Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or you can go to our website, powerofprophecy.com, powerofprophecy.com. Also, there's an alternative way to get into that website. It's texmars.com, texmars.com. All right, let's return to our regular program. We're talking about the things that Jesus told his disciples would happen at the end of the world, or right before the end of the world. Leading up to it. I mentioned this being offended thing. You know, a lot of people are offended and then they start to scoff and make fun and mock Christians. In the epistle of Peter, the apostle Peter said they will scoff at the notion that Jesus is coming again. They'll say, well, since the time of our fathers, all things remain the same. You're just crying wolf. Peter said they're just ignorant. They're ignorant. And they are. Homosexuals hate the scriptures. They want to strip the offending verses. Mollenkott, Virginia Mollenkott, was a word stylist. In other words, she had to choose the words for the NIV version of the Bible, which I think is a New Age version. She said, you know, at Sodom and Gomorrah, the sin really was not homosexuality. It's just that the people there didn't show hospitality. That was their sin. They were not hospitable. That's what Dr. Virginia Mollenkott, well, she should know. She's a theologian. She's so intelligent, so smart. She's also a feminist idiot who does not believe in the blood of Christ, that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And she wrote a book defending lesbianism called Sensuous Spirituality. Now, why did the NIV committee, the New International Version committee, that Bible is used by all the Southern Baptists, it seems like today, most of them, as well as many other churches, why would they choose Dr. Virginia Mollenkott, a lesbian activist, to help them choose words for their new version? Think about it. Think about it. Catholics were so offended by the Ten Commandments. Well, they took out one of the commandments. The one that says, thou shalt have no idols, no graven images. Well, they have idols of all the saints and Mary and Joseph and all that. And they're, what are we going to do about this? Well, in the most famous version of the Bible, the Douay-Rheims version, it's much like the King James in many ways, but it has some other books added. And they took out the commandment about the idols. Well, what do they do then? They had nine commandments. You can't have nine commandments. So the Douay-Rheims Catholic version of the Bible, the Vatican said, well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll just take the, you know, the one that's left is nine that used to be ten and make it into two. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. That'll be ninth. And the tenth one will be thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's goods. So now they had come up with ten again. But look closely, one is missing. One of the old ones. But they added a new one. Actually broke up one of them. Divided into two to have ten. A little deceit there. Verse 11, Jesus says again, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Folks, let me give you five signs of a false prophet. First of all, their prophecies often don't come true. Benny Hinn, Kenneth Hagin, Paul Crouch, they all said you'd be rich and you're not rich. Well, it's like false prophecies. Because they'll tell you, you just didn't have enough faith. If you had enough faith, if you confessed it and really believed it, you'd be rich. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. The prophecies don't come true. Second sign or mark of a false prophet is the teachings aren't in accord with scriptures. Now, I was down at that Florida Christian counselors and psychologists meeting. I noted one thing. When I went in the auditorium and it was packed with all these people, they'd come from all over the United States. I was going to be the speaker. I noticed I was the only one with a Bible. Well, they don't use the Bible for their counseling and their psychologing, I guess. They don't need the Bible. They've got, I guess, Freud and Jung and they've all got, you know, degrees and master's degree and counseling theology and all that. They don't use the Bible for their counseling. And that's what got me in trouble with them. I told them I noticed I was only one the Bible there. I told all those people there, hundreds of them, I said, you know something? If the Bible is not your daily guide for living and daily guide for counseling, then you need to go outside your office and pull that shingle off that says Christian counselor. You're not a Christian counselor. Boy, they got mad. Don't want you to come back tomorrow night. Okay. All right. Now, a third way you can tell a false prophet is their preachings, their teachings, even their prophecies do not lead to repentance and salvation. Hey, Benny Hinn's not, he's not concerned about you repenting of your sins and being saved, being drawn by the Holy Spirit to God. He wants you to covet rich things, material things. He wants you to keep sinning. Their teachings, their prophecies don't lead to repentance. I'm telling you, folks, you read the book of Revelation, you say, I better get down on my knees. If these things are true, I'm in deep trouble. Bad things are going to happen. I better get down on my knees and repent of my sins. No telling how many people have repented of their sins because, well, the truth of the Bible frightened them. You say, well, Tex, you should draw people with love. Let me tell you something. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. After you fear God, you will love him because you know he's your rescue. He will rescue you. You will overcome through God and you will be thankful to the one who is your rescuer. There's where the love comes in. You will be thankful because he will shower you with blessings, not with money and all this other junk stuff, but with truth. And you'll be amazed at the treasures you will have from God. And they don't have anything to do with driving a Lexus or a Mercedes. If you own one of those, that's okay. I'm not against having a nice home. And I'm just saying that's not going to really make you happy. If you think it is, well, you've been listening to false prophets. A fourth thing is they don't glorify Jesus Christ. They don't point people to him. They point people to usually to material things. And finally, they don't love Jesus coming again. Did you know the Bible actually says that Jesus is coming again for those who love his appearing? A lot of people forget that verse. There's a verse there. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. True Christians say that. They want Jesus to come. Oh my goodness, get me out of this morass. Get me out of this quicksand. Get me out of this moral swamp that is planet Earth, Lord. Take me up with you right now. That's the way I feel about it. True Christians say, man, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But all these fake Christians and all these other people, all the Jews actually teach a material kingdom right here on earth. They want this kingdom. They want all the Gentiles to give them all their riches. The Jews say we want to be gods on earth and have all the Gentiles come and serve us. Folks, I'm willing to serve Jesus in heaven. I don't need any servants up there myself. I'm willing to be one. I'm one now. And I'm happy being a servant. You say, well, you're happy having a degraded status of being a slave to God? Absolutely. And if you're not, you're not a Christian. You're not a, don't tell me you're a Christian. A woman wrote to me recently and she says, my daddy, Jesus, your daddy, don't mock God by calling him your daddy. I know we pray to our Father in heaven. Don't call him daddy and all these kiddie names. Don't degrade God. He's a majestic being. Yes, he's your friend. Listening to some fake evangelist on TV. He says, yeah, every year about this time, Jesus comes and visits me. Tells me what's going to be happening in the future. Well, everything he said was a lie. It never happened. But in any case, he was on Trinity Broadcast Network. And he sat there and said, yeah, and when Jesus comes, he's dressed in a three-piece suit. And he just sits on my couch and talks to me, just like you do. What a faker. Let me tell you something. I was at a big meeting in South Carolina. They had about, 1,500 people in the audience. I was with a true Bible-believing pastor. He and I were guests on this national, international, really television program. And the host of it, he's one of these charismatic evangelists, and he says to all the people, "I just feel the presence of God in this place." And all, they went crazy. And the Bible teacher that was not a charismatic, but he was a guest on the program just like I was, he bends over and whispers in my ear. He says, "Tex, do you feel the presence of God in this place?" And I looked at him. And we were sort of, whispering because we didn't want to interrupt what was going on there immediately. And I said, "No, I don't feel the presence of God in this place." And he looked back at me and he said, "I don't either." And then he said to me something that I'll never forget. He said, "If God..." And by the way, the host of the show had really got the people all... They were jumping up and down and holding up their holy hands, so-called. He said, "I just see Jesus right now entering this building. He's walking right down the aisle." Oh, that sent him crazy. And this Bible teacher could see that wasn't of God. And he whispers in my ear and he says, "If Jesus really did come in this building and walked in those doors right down this aisle, the glory of God would be so powerful. The Spirit would be overwhelming. These people wouldn't be jumping up and down and cheering like it was some Super Bowl football game. They'd be down on their knees. They would be struck with the holiness of God. They wouldn't be able to stand in His presence. They wouldn't be able to say a word." Remember the Old Testament prophet? He was called up before God and brought up in spirit. And he said, I cannot speak, for my lips are unclean." And the attendants before the throne took a hot coal and put it to his lips to burn out the uncleanness. Imagine the process. I can't even speak before the majestic throne of God. My mouth is unclean. Folks, we're unclean compared to God. If He enters your church, if He enters your home, and you recognize Him, you're not going to be screaming up and down like you're some cheerleader at a football game. You're going to be struck with His awesome power and majesty. God is God. And these false prophets and false teachers, they don't understand the power of God because they have a form of godliness. And that's all they've got. Verse 12 says, "And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Wax means grow cold. Folks, sin leads you farther than you want to go. You'll be jaded, degraded. Your love will dim for your family, for truth, for God, even for yourself. You'll enter a desperate quest for temporary pleasures of the flesh. If you don't believe in God, you'll believe in anything. You'll believe in anything. You'll wink at sin. You'll promote hedonistic pleasures. You'll be on a spiritual quest, but never get there. Never arrive. Because iniquity, sin shall abound. The love of many will grow cold. You can't be hot on fire for God with sin in your life. It doesn't work like that. It puts up a wall, a barrier between you and God. Verse 13 says, "But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved." You see, it's like a seed. The seed planted in a person's heart, the seed of God, prospers and flourishes and grows and springs up and produces fruit. And that's the evidence that you're truly of God. You're producing fruit for Him. But some seed is planted on rocky ground, on barren ground. It doesn't get planted very deep, and the sun comes and it withers up and it dies. Some believe in is easy believism. I went down the altar when Billy Graham was here and I got saved. But you look at their life, there's no fruit there. They pretend they're Christian. I had a man, he was a member of the Masonic Lodge. He was an alcoholic. His wife begged him to come to church. She prayed for him. Praying wife can work miracles. He went to church, to a Baptist church. And he was convicted by the Holy Spirit and he walked to the altar and accepted Jesus. The man was a Freemason. His father had been a Freemason. His grandfather, he loved the Masonic Lodge. He was a member of it. He believed in the Masons. They're my brothers. After church, one of the deacons came up to him and gave him the Masonic handshake and said, "Well, now we're twice brothers." And he looked at the deacon and said, I'm not your brother. I'm a Christian. I'm going to renounce Freemasonry. And the deacon was shocked and angry. He couldn't believe it. He had known this man all these years as a loyal Mason. And now he's saying, I'm not your brother. Here's the upshot of it all. The man who had become a Jesus believer and had the Holy Ghost in him came to see me in my office. His wife begged him to come to see me. He said, Tex, I don't know why I told that man that. I was led by the Holy Spirit to tell that Mason. My friend of many years is Mason, said, and when he looked at me, he withdrew his hand and got angry and stalked away. But now I feel I have to leave the Masons. But I don't know why. What's wrong with the Masons? I've been taught they're a good organization. Now, he hadn't gone up to the higher levels yet, you see, and he just sort of compartmentalized it all in his mind. I said, well, God, you belong to God now. God took over. God told you what to say. God's corrected you. God's told you, I want sin out of your life. I want you to get out of the Masons. He said, can you tell me more about the Masons? He said, do you know more than I do? And I'm a Freemason. I said, I do know more than you do. I've studied it for years. And I gave him some books and materials. And I want to tell you another thing about that man. He was a drunk. Sometimes he didn't make it home. Sometimes his wife would find him. He couldn't get out of his car or his pickup truck. She'd find him still slumped in his seat in the morning, drunk. He couldn't even make it into the house. She didn't know how he got there through the streets as drunk as he would get. But he never drank another drop. He said, when Jesus came in the morning, I just didn't want to touch it. Didn't want anything to do with alcohol. Didn't want anything to do with masonry. You're telling me, folks, the Bible says the Holy Spirit, that man need teach you nothing, but the Holy Spirit will instruct you in all things. Verse 13, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. True Christians, even in tough times, will continue and persevere. And finally, they will prove what the book of Revelation says. They overcame through the power of their testimony and the blood of the Lamb. Your testimony is powerful. That man's testimony today is powerful. He left the Masons. He left alcohol. Tell me that man's not of God. Verse 14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Wow. There's the great sign of all. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. We've got television. We've got internet. We've got missionaries. We've got the ability now we never had before to reach all of mankind with the gospel of the kingdom. But what is the gospel of the kingdom? Ah, there is the problem. Most so-called Christians don't know what the gospel of the kingdom is. Dr. Richard Land of the Southern Baptist Convention says the Great Commission, where Jesus in the Gospel of Mark says, go ye into all the world, preaching the gospel of the kingdom unto all nations. He said, well, there's two parts to the kingdom. You got to preach Jesus on the cross, but you also need to preach we've got to save Mother Earth. What? Save Mother Earth? Save Earth? Save the environment? That's part of the Great Commission? Folks, there are trillions of planets God has created. You don't need to work to save any of them. I'm not saying be a bad steward. I'm not saying trash the planet or pollute it just on purpose. Nobody likes to live in pollution and dirt and filth. I don't. I like a pretty place. I like green trees. But I'm not going to worship the earth. And it's not part of the Great Commission. It's not the gospel of the kingdom, environmentalist. Dr. Richard Land, you need to get right with God, then you'll know what the gospel of the kingdom is. Let me tell you what the gospel of the kingdom is. It's Jesus Christ. Wherever Jesus is, there is his kingdom. What did he tell the people when he was here on earth in the flesh? What did he say? The kingdom of God is among you. The Bible says the kingdom of God, if you belong to Jesus Christ, is within you. Christ within the hope of glory, Paul said. There's the kingdom. And guess what? You're made a member of the kingdom, a citizen of Zion, brought nigh to Zion, Paul said. Can you believe that? You're a citizen of the new Jerusalem, not earthly Jerusalem, that dirty city. And all cities are dirty. I went to New York. Everybody said, isn't this a lovely city? It looked like dirt. It was filthy. The streets everywhere. Oh, I know that big neon signs and all that. There was some glamour to it, I suppose. We go down the back streets and the alleyways are littered with junk, homeless people and all kind of drug addicts. Oh, yeah. Didn't look too lovely to me. And no city really is. Gospel of the kingdom. What is it? It's Jesus. Jesus. He died on the cross for our sins. The gospel of the kingdom. Wherever he is. Folks, right here now. Right here now. If you have Jesus, you're in the kingdom. And the devil has no part with you. He's got a kingdom. He offered his kingdom to Jesus. And Jesus says, don't tempt the Lord thy God. The devil had a right to his kingdom. For a while, he's got the earth. It's his kingdom. But if you have Jesus, you're not part of this world. You're just passing through, like the old hymn says. Now, verse 20 talks about the abomination of desolation. I'm going to hold that for a little while. But I believe very possibly the abomination of desolation is a man, the Antichrist, declaring he's God. And right away, everybody is saying I'm a God. Remember Shirley MacLaine, the New Age movement? I'm God. Of course, some say I'm goddess, but it's a different version. The Mormons say, obey Joseph Smith and the commandments of the church, and you can say I'm a God. The Hindus say there's millions of gods, and you can ascend through higher consciousness and become God. Judaism, their Talmud, their Kabbalah says the Jews will become God. Collectively, all the Jews, their DNA being Jewish, they will be God. But the Bible in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 says the son of perdition will go in the temple of God and declare, I am God and above all gods. Could that be the abomination that maketh desolate? Finally, verse 21 says, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. Verse 22 says, and except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Think about that. Things are going to get so bad, such great horror and tribulation, that only for the elect's sake. Who are the elect? Those who have Jesus. I don't care if you're a Jew. I don't care if you're an African, a German, a Mexican. I don't care what you are. If you have Jesus Christ, you're one of the elect. And for your sake, those horrible days will be shortened because you're heir to the true kingdom, which is of Jesus Christ. All right. Finally, verse 25. Behold, said Jesus, I have told you before. Before these things happen, Jesus told his disciples, and he told us. Now, when will they happen? Look for these signs. Jesus said we should look for them. But he said this, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. He says in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Are you watching, friends? I'm watching every day. I watch for the signs. I say, it looks like things are going to wrap up, but I don't know when. Only God knows in heaven. Only the Father knows, Jesus said. But he did say we can read the signs. We can read the seasons. And it looks pretty imminent to text Mars. What about you? I'd like to hear from you. What do you think about what Jesus said? About the sign that he gave of the end of the world? Well, until this next week, this is Tex Mars inviting you to tune in each week here on this network, our worldwide radio program. Tune in and discover the power of prophecy.